Grab a beverage, settle in. When you're ready, we'll begin. Joe and Michael and a guest or two are gonna talk comic books with you.
It's the Casual Comics Cast with your hosts, Joe and Michael. On this episode of the Casual Comics Cast, we're heading back in time. Tapping into our back issue stash, we're covering one of the most influential moments in Marvel Comics history.
Civil War.
A Marvel Comics event.
A conflict has been brewing in the Marvel Universe for over a year, threatening to pit friend against friend, brother against brother, and all it will take is a single misstep to cost thousands their lives and ignite the fuse. As the war claims its first victims, no one is safe as teams, friendships, and families begin to fall apart.
Civil War.
A Marvel Comics event in seven parts stars Spider-Man, the New Avengers, the Fantastic Four, the X-Men, and the entirety of the Marvel Pantheon.
Civil War.
The crossover that rewrites the rules begins here.
Right.
I'm so effing excited that we are kicking this podcast back off.
I hear you. So here we are back with the Casual Comics Cast. This is our over the hump episode. We haven't done one in a long time. We're just going to power through it. It might not be what everyone expects. It might not be what I expect. It probably won't be what I expect because I don't know what to expect out of this one, except that 4th of July holiday is behind us and you have read so many comics that I've given you over the last 6 months and we haven't talked about any of them.
No, we haven't. In fact, the podcast today is going to talk about a comic book I've already read.
It is?
Yeah.
How sad is it? I don't know what that one is.
Well, we're going to talk about the Civil War, which is also apropos because I am about to go on a vacation to Gettysburg with my dad and his boys.
Right.
But yeah, I read this months ago at your assignment and... Yes. Here we are talking about it.
So this whole podcast will be about Marvel Civil War. Quick recap, though. Over the time in between our last podcast, I've given you King in Black. You've had some Black Knight stuff. You've had Department of Truth. You've had Kaiju Score, which we kind of talked about.
I mean, I can't even remember all the things that I've read in between now and the last time.
And we talked. We were like, we got to get back on the horse. Is it back on? Oh, it's on the horse. It's... Off the wagon.
Well, I'm definitely off the wagon, but I could get back on the horse.
All right, we're gonna get back on the horse of this podcast. And we just had Memorial Day, or not Memorial Day, we had Independence Day weekend.
Yes.
And I was thinking about Captain America, and I was thinking about, we talked about, you read Civil War. Let's get into Marvel's Civil War, a big, huge crossover event that introduced me to Deadpool and to a lot of characters that didn't know. And so, like, Marvel and, you know, DC to a lesser extent have had a success with doing big events where people are, like, into, here's a bunch of heroes together in the same story, which is laying the blueprint for what Marvel's doing in cinema now, a.k.a. Captain America Civil War, which had its roots here in Marvel's Civil War. And you're going to guide us through this, right, Michael? Because this
I'm going to try.
This was written by Mark Miller, even though it's spelled M-I-L-L-A-R. I believe it's pronounced Miller. I was going to say Mark Millar. Penciler Steve Nevin. Ton of inkers. But, I mean, this was the big to-do when it came out. And I remember all of it. It was hitting the media. It was everywhere. So let's get into Civil War, because you're new to this. You didn't know anything about Civil War before this, right?
Well... So I'm still
even
into
the American Civil War.
I know a little bit about that. So this is a 7-part series and I've only read 3 of the 7. So
that's right. So this is Civil War part 1.
2 and 3 is what we'll cover today.
Right. But part 1 of the podcast, we will do a part 2 later.
Mini parts.
ASAP.
Mini parts.
As soon as I'm done with this cheese.
So was this a... So you already said something. This was a movie. Yes?
It inspired the plot of the movie in some ways. Captain America Civil War.
I hadn't seen that.
This came out before the first Iron Man movie.
Okay. I never saw Civil War, the movie. So This is all new.
We're just going to dive into the comics because it inspired a lot of what's happening in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So Civil War number one. Why don't you? I don't even know what year it came out.
Let me kick it off.
Go for it.
All right. So what's happening in Civil War? We've got a whole series of superheroes, supervillains, and that sets sort of the stage, I think, for like the very beginning and opening scene, which is, it kind of felt a little bit like The Boys in some ways. You've got these superheroes, but you also have a lot of like lesser degree superheroes. You've got the B squad or the C-listers. And then you have the big dogs, right? You've got your Captain Americas and your Hulks. And the whole opener of this is there is this group of kind of degenerate superheroes who are trying to host a TV show. Like they want their spotlight and they're just trying to get some kind of street cred. Wait,
so why do you describe them as?
They're kind of like slovenly. They just don't have their crap together. There's even like within like the first couple of panels you're seeing, like they can't even get along with each other. They're conflicted over even what the hell they're trying to accomplish. So,
which is interesting because a lot of these in the comic books, they're like teen squad. And I think that's kind of this one. They're in their late teens, early 20s. So, yeah.
Are they?
They don't really have their crap together.
I didn't get that vibe. I mean, they have a TV crew and everything. They just seemed like they were not super skilled.
Right.
They didn't seem young. They just seemed not that skilled.
So the heroes that are part of this squad were always tertiary on the edge of Marvel.
I didn't know any of them. They call themselves the New Warriors.
But one of them is Namora, I think is her name.
Namora?
Right. She is like the Submariner. Namor is like a huge character who will be in a movie coming up. She's like his stepdaughter or something. These are all like really, off the grid characters. You're right. Marvel has its core characters, Avengers. These are just sort of people who have superpowers who are on the edge of that.
Yeah. But the whole opening scene, and it's important, I think, because it's the catalyst for obviously the rest of these issues, is that they are about to go after this group of supervillains that are all like bunked up in, you know, some kind of a hidey hole or apartment. And they're even asking themselves, like, are we out of our league? Like, should we actually be trying to go after these dudes? And before they even get a chance to figure out whether they should or shouldn't be doing this thing, the supervillains spy them and this big fight ensues. And I think it's quickly proven that they really are in over their heads.
Right. I like that how you describe it is not a supervillain lair, but a hidey hole.
Well, they're like living in an apartment together and it's like a dump. I mean, it's not like they're in some kind of badass lair. They're in like, I don't know. They're like in my basement. It's really not anything.
Right. It's not some cave and it's not some, super technical thing. They're squatters or something.
We should all go in on a cheap apartment together, split the rent. Utilities will be way cheaper.
Those are the villains. They're like spying on them. They're like, oh, I'm going to get them when they're taking out the trash.
But all that said, these villains, I mean, they've got their crap together, certainly more than the New Warriors.
Sure.
Which is a huge problem.
And by the way, there's no old warriors. I don't know why New Warriors.
They're called the New Warriors.
Okay.
Are there old warriors?
No, there's not. All right. Sorry, okay. That's a sidebar. You keep going. Just power through.
So they get into like a battle in the backyard of this hidey hole, and ultimately what ends up happening, and I don't know what character it is that has like some kind of, you know, nuclear explosive power, but there's a massive explosion. This is supposed to be in Stamford, Connecticut.
Right.
I
think his name is Nitro.
So, but this explosion,
That's not Nitro. Nitro is the bad guy. The good guy is
Speedball. I don't know. I couldn't even tell if it was the good guy or the bad guy that caused the explosion.
And like, if you're a good guy, why Speedball for your name?
I don't know. Maybe he likes to party. I have no idea.
You're right.
But it kills like 1,000 people.
Including a grade school full of kids.
Yeah, well, I thought the panel that they did in the beginning was, I think it had some pretty good emphasis because you see these kids at the school and they're just sort of like backlit to this very apocalyptic kind of, you know, inferno.
Right. It's so, like very Terminator 2.
100%. Great movie. Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it's like.
Sarah Connor, come with me if you want to.
Don't quit your day job, man.
Come on. All right. So, part one of seven, Civil War. So, I'm going through the pages as you're talking about. I'm tracking.
Well, but so here's the thing is like if the setup for this, like part one of seven, I mean, I wrote probably a 10 part series of notes on this because there's a lot that happens.
Let's hear it, sister.
So we're going to go right through. So the next thing is you cut away and you've got all of the superheroes that you know and love. You've got Iron Man and Captain America and all the soups, and they're cleaning up the wreckage of this explosion. And, you know, they're all having lots of dialogue about trying to find bodies and what went down. And there's a couple of, I think, key things that you kind of start to dialogue on. One that's interesting is that there are these sentinels there.
Yep,
that are there for the sole purpose of watching the X-Men, which right. I'd never heard of them before.
So this will be important as the mutants come into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is that sentinels are these like in the comics, and you kind of get it. I don't know if you get it in the movies. Like, the X-Men are mutants. People are afraid of them. They're like, oh, yeah. They're here to take our place. They're the next evolution of human beings. So normal humans are really freaked out and scared of the X-Men and people who have these powers. And so the Sentinels were created by some government agency to be like giant robots that could destroy the mutants if they needed to be.
Right.
Like, you kind of get it in the Deadpool movie where, like, everybody's kind of like, oh, I'm watching these mutants. I got my eye on them. I'm worried about him. So that's kind of the Sentinels are these giant purplish robots that kind of look like Junior Galactus.
Mm-hmm, and kind of.
They're there just for humans to be able to like murder mutants if they need to. If you get out of line, we're here to take you out.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't have an awareness before this about there being sort of like a policing force that was watching. I mean, I knew that the mutants had sort of self-isolated at the academy, but I guess I didn't know that when they left that environment, there was sort of someone watching their back, which I think Wolverine in the opening scenes of this is sort of saying, like, get ready. Like, it's us. It's going to be all of you. And the conversation evolves to say, like, maybe this is the straw that broke the camel's back. I think you hear that a couple times throughout this first issue. They're talking about how even though all these superheroes are supposedly the good guys, they're kind of a mess. Like, they're kind of out of control. They talk about, you know, the Hulk has trashed Vegas on some rampage.
Oh,
and
yeah. Hulk
Wolverine is threatening to kill the president. Like, they're just sort of this lawless group of people that are the good guys, but they're actually doing some damage and maybe a little bit out of control.
They're just like vigilantes, right? They have their own sense of justice and they're fighting for what they think. So,
well, right. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's there's a couple of conversations that I kind of kept having with myself as I'm going through this, which is by whose standards, right? We're talking about mutants. We're talking about man. We're talking about gods. We're talking about like all these beings that aren't really policed or governed by one thing. Right. And who is anyone to say like how they should be living and doing things, which is maybe part of the core argument here is like, who gets to decide what the right or the wrong way is for any of them to accomplish what they think is the right thing?
That's the heart of Marvel Civil War.
Boom!
Who decides? Blam, you distilled it down. In like the first issue, you got it.
Well, I don't know that I got it quite at the first issue, but I'm on issue three and I'm pretty well there.
All right, so. You're getting there.
But the big question that comes out of this, you know, this New Warriors explosion and out of all of this is that, what do we do about the superheroes? There's a massive debate. It's, you know, it's political and it's public outcry and it's religious. And the question is, do you ban the superheroes? Do you regulate them? Do you try to control them and train them and, you know, make them a police force of sorts?
Right.
You know, who are compensated and trained and, you know, live by a set of rules. And that's kind of where I think the rift and the divide starts to happen is because everyone feels like what you do about this, we're not all on the same page.
Right. Right.
So I think this is all happening, you know, again, while they're cleaning up the aftermath of the Stamford, Connecticut issue. But where we start to see the first divide happen is that there's a service for all of the people who were killed or injured in that explosion. And Tony Stark is confronted by the mother of one of the children who's been killed.
Right.
And she introduces this question in his mind of, you know, you have been paying for and condoning this message that says that as long as you're a superhero, right, as long as you wear tights or as long as you, you know, can just like willy-nilly do whatever you want, it's okay that you don't have to follow the law.
Right. It's vigilante and, all over.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we see that in a lot of different comic books, right?
They're all vigilantes. They all operate outside the law. I think this is the first time in a major comic book publisher that they examined this, which is what is happening. Does it sound like I'm peeing again? Sorry.
It sounds like you're peeing again, yes.
Okay, sorry to the listeners.
I can attest that he is pouring a drink and not peeing. Thank God.
I feel like I'm on a Zoom meeting at work. I'm like, am I on mute? Am I on mute?
Like, am I in my underpants on Zoom again?
No, but that's kind of the heart of the Civil War, which is... And mutants have been dealing with it for a long time because they're mutants and they have powers and people don't like it. And now people are waking up to the fact that like all these people have powers and they're not really accountable to any of us. And if they do stupid things, there's collateral damage.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So to kind of fast track through, there's a couple other big things that happen. One that I'm only three issues in and I'm not quite sure where this lands, but Johnny Storm, sort of the... I'm going to call him the bad boy of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Human Torch.
Boy? Yeah,
that Human one. Torch, baby.
Okay. Well, he gets his butt kicked. He's like trying to go to a club and he gets beat up because there's all this, you know, backlash from society and from man being like, you should be ashamed of yourself. Didn't you see what happened? Like, you know, you shouldn't show your face around here. And that happens in sort of in passing. But the next thing is that we're at the Baxter Building, which is the Fantastic Four's headquarters.
Yeah, see, you know that now, the Fantastic Four's
headquarters. I mean, I wrote it down.
I didn't know it. There's a movie with the Fantastic Four, and they're like, the Baxter Building. You're like, oh, I know that thing.
I mean, I've seen the Fantastic Four movie. I just have, like, very short-term recall about all these different
things. Oh, no, there'll be a better one, a new one.
But... Again, here's another topic that is related to the whole vigilante thing that comes up. But all the superheroes have gathered at the Baxter Building, and yep. they are all just talking about what's going to happen. It sounds like people are talking about making the superheroes register, making them civil servants.
Is it weird to you that they're all just like standing around at the Baxter Building and they all have their costumes on? It's like. You could just show up in jeans and a t-shirt, dude.
Well, I guess my question is, do they all know who each other are? Like, some of them are mysterious to humans, but are they all mysterious to one another?
I mean, not really. I don't think. I think, like, everybody knows who Iron Man is, and he's just showing up, like, in his Iron Man suit.
But he's a bad example because he's one of the – well, so this is the point, right? Some of them – part of the debate they're having is some of them are like, yeah, well, like, you know, we've lived in the limelight forever. Everybody knows who we are. Everyone knows our face. And some of them, like, you know, you've got your Spider-Mans of the world who are like, no, my anonymity is very, very important to me being able to help people.
Right, but everybody knows who Iron Man is, and he's just still – and I get it. Maybe he feels like if somebody attacks, I got to have my – like, but everybody knows who Wolverine is. Everybody like knows who the Wasp is. She doesn't even have a mask on. She has no mask. She just got her tights on with no mask. It's like, can you just like, I don't know what it is. It's funny to me every time I see a superhero gathering scene where we're all going to get together and talk about something. It's like, but let's put on our costumes first.
I mean, maybe this is like a sort of like showy thing, right?
Maybe
like,
they don't want Spider-Man to feel
bad. When you go to Comic-Con, you dress up and you're like showing off. Maybe it's like that.
I don't know. Like maybe they're just comfortable. Maybe it's like these are my sweats. It's like Cyclops is showing up. He's like, it's just so comfortable. I couldn't find anything better.
I have a note in here somewhere that there's no way that can be true because there are there are illustrations in this comic throughout where I'm like, I like these people's butts and their like form is very outlined.
It feels like a nonstop wedgie party.
No way that's as comfortable as sweatpants.
It's like a nonstop wedgie party.
I mean, I feel like there are certain scenes where like you're literally looking at a panel and it's half butt.
Yeah.
Half butt, and then there's like a little bit happening over in the other corner. So
I don't know if that's the writer or the artist, but yeah, there is a lot of toned gluteal action going on.
The artist? Like, does the writer write like, hey, in here, I want you to really get in on She-Hulk's rear end. Like, what? I don't think it's the writer.
I don't think so. I don't think it's the writer being like close up on Hawkeye, but make sure you get a cheek shot of somebody else next to his face.
I mean, I was jealous. Some of these butts were really nice butts, but I'm just saying, it was intense.
I'm just saying, it makes me feel bad. Maybe that's why Doctor Strange has a cape on all the time. He needs to do some squats.
Is not well, or maybe he's got the most fantastic butt ever and he's just a private person.
Oh, Joe. Yeah, he's gonna
maybe he doesn't want it, everyone up in his business.
No free shows for none of them. You gotta get to know the Sorcerer Supreme on a different level.
But I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, again, back to the whole concept of like superhero versus god versus human, like, some of these superheroes are people,
they're right? All, yeah.
Most not of all them. Of them are people. They're not all people. Some I mean, not all people in the sense that, like, they were born in a hospital and they got a social security card and, like, they're human DNA. Like, not all of them are true to form people.
That's true.
So, like, Peter Parker wanting to protect himself and his family by keeping his identity hidden seems to make a lot of sense right. to me. Whereas, I don't know, some of these other guys is like, who cares?
No, the Wasp. It's Janet Van Dyne. We know she's the Wasp, okay? And yeah. And she's got her bun huggers on, I guess. All right, so let's keep going through the plot. We've talked enough about butts.
Okay. So another important thing that happens.
But have you ever talked enough about butts? I guess
you
we have.
You want to talk about butts have. More?
No.
Okay, I can talk about butts all night.
We've exhausted that topic.
Okay. So another thing that happens, we go to S.H.I.E.L.D. and we've got not Nick Fury. We've got a Commander Hill.
Maria Hill.
Okay. Yes. And she's there and she's with Captain America and she's just sort of saying, like, you know, you're our guy. What's going on? Like, how are all the superheroes going to respond to this idea that we're about to try to regulate and control them as an entity? Right. And he's like, this is not going to go well.
Right.
He's very candid. He's like, this is going to split us down the middle. You know, it's gonna shush. This is where video would really come in hand because you're looking at me like, duh, you idiot, it's called the Civil War.
No. It was we were just talking so much about butts and you're like, it's gonna split us down the middle.
That too.
Again. Also, I'm looking at the page. I don't know. I don't wanna go into the art too much because I love the story. It's like, you know, it's like apparently when Captain America disagrees with you, he just looks really, really constipated. He's just got this weird facial expression. All right. That's a sidetrack. Keep going. Power through the story. We're like 20 plus minutes in and we're even still on issue one.
But just speaking of like his illustration in general, though,
yes.
He is an angrier, less sort of all-American seeming. He's more brooding than I think I'm used to seeing Captain America.
Yeah.
He still wears that stupid hat with the little wings on it in some of the issues.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't like that hat. That hat makes no sense to me. Maybe someday I'll figure it out, but it seems very
similar. I don't know how to help you.
But basically, what is interesting about this is like, you know, Commander Hill tries to come up with that like cocky energy and she tries to be like, you know, you're going to handle this, right? Like you're going to take care of it. And he is the opposite. He's like, right. No. Like I have a sort of responsibility to stay above the law. And it is not my job to carry out the laws and, you know, the political leanings of any entity. And so that's where the big sort of surprise for me was in this, because I kind of thought that Captain America was going to toe the line, that he was your guy that was like, well, you know, the Oval Office says go. And I just go. So that was surprising for me that he was like, no, get lost. I mean, this is not where this is going.
Yeah. I think that was the big thing for me and for a lot of people. It's like, you think Captain America, you think, oh, if it's going to be a civil war, he's going to be on the side of America and what the government wants him to do. And he's like, no, America is not about the government. America is about the ideals of freedom. And freedom says, blam. And then, like, Shield's like, we're after him now.
Freedom says, blam.
That's, I'll put that 100%. On a shirt. I'm going to get a shirt that says, freedom 100%. Says, blam. It'll sell like hotcakes in Grove City.
Okay, but so I. But I felt like, okay, so you know this, and I know this is a very unpopular opinion. Yes. I've never really liked Captain America. I felt like he was such a goody-two-shoes. Like, I follow the laws and the rules, and he just never was my guy. Okay. And I felt like this redeemed him a bit for me.
So you're feeling better about Captain America now? I'm
feeling a lot better about him.
Going into issue two.
Going into issue two.
Are you on Captain America's side at this point? Are you like... Yes. Hell yes.
I don't know that I know whose side I'm on. I just like that he was unpredictable and that he wasn't going to just toe the line. I like that about him.
Okay.
But I do have one more question.
One more.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. I have two more questions and then I promise they'll be really fast. One is there's a character that shows up who I've never heard of before, and he is supposed to just show up to take records of moments of big change.
Right. Uatu.
His name is the Watcher.
Right. His name's Uatu. They call him the Watcher.
Eh? What is his name?
Uatu. 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 Uatu, the Watcher.
Okay. Is he a super relevant topic for this?
He's a super relevant topic for Marvel in general, in that he is the Watcher. He shows up at critical moments in like the history of the universe, and they're there to watch and record and to not interfere. They're sworn to not interfere in any way.
Okay.
So just all there right. to watch, record, and it's like when he shows up, you know, shit's about to get real, and all of history and all of the universe go in one of two ways, and he's here to observe and see how it went down.
Okay. So end of this is basically Captain America goes underground.
By the way, also the Watcher all the time breaks his oath to watch.
He fights people?
No, hell? he's like, hey, I'm just supposed to watch, but I'm gonna tell you this is not cool.
This isn't so good. Well, he's also like a big giant dude. Like everyone knows he's there, so there's no surprise that some crap is going down, right?
He is, yeah. His first appearance in Marvel Comics was him showing up to Earth and be like, hey, by the way, Galactus is on his way and he's going to kill y'all, so you might want to do something about that.
So, all right. So, Captain America goes underground. He's not going to toe the line, and that's where this episode ends.
Yeah.
But my last question is, who is the yellow and black costumed man with the radio antenna ears?
Oh, that's Yellow Jacket. Do you remember our whole podcast that I don't think we ever posted about Ant-Man because it was like 3 hours long? We recorded it at a bar and it got deleted.
It was actually one of our, I think it might have been our very best podcast.
It's the best podcast ever and nobody can dispute it because we can't find it.
Yeah,
100%. Okay. Hank Pym. Hank Pym, Ant-Man, Giant Man, Yellow Jacket, that's one of his identities is Yellow Jacket. And he was Yellow Jacket when he was a spousal abuser. And then for some reason in the Marvel comics here, in this Civil War, he's now Yellow Jacket. He's like, that was a pretty good time in my life. I want to go back to that. That was awesome.
He just seems like one of the big three.
It's Hank Pym. Like,
okay. All
right. So you know Hank Pym, right?
Yeah, he's got the Pym particles. The Pym particles.
Deadpool. The Pym particles. that's Hank Pym. He's like Ant-Man, Giant Man, all that stuff. And like in the movies, you'll know he's Michael Douglas.
But in
the comics, he's not that old. And he is like one of the smartest people around. And he is the one who knows how to shrink and grow and get into the quantum realm.
I know all about the quantum realm.
And I don't know why he ever wants to be Yellow Jacket, because Yellow Jacket was the most biggest disgrace of his career. But he's Yellow Jacket here.
Okay. All right. Let's just forget Yellow Jacket, because I just kept being like, I'm so confused. Who is this guy? He's in league with guys I know and I don't get it. But
Hank Pym.
All right. Episode two.
Issue two.
Closing in. Issue two. Gosh, I'm never going to get over that.
No. Nope.
It's the whole like migration from TV to reading. It's going to be episode and issue oscillating. I'm apologizing now for
that. That's fine. We'll just keep teasing you about it.
That's fine. But so issue two, we're closing in on this law going into effect that will regulate the, you know, the superheroes. They're going to get paid. They're going to be trained. They're ultimately
She-Hulk is hanging out.
Thing I was talking about. No one else can see the butt, though. It just sounds like a really weird conversation we're having.
No, She-Hulk has just like giant wedgie.
She's got a fantastic butt.
Okay. Now you said
you don't
it.
Think that's
not
a
me.
Nice butt. Okay. Well, I can say what I want.
It has no reason to be in this panel, but it is.
I mean, I totally agree. That's why it was so notable.
it's striking.
It doesn't make it any less of a good butt.
Okay. So, continuing on with the non-butt related plot of this story.
So issue two, I only took two pages of notes on, so it will be quite a bit faster, I'm sure, to everyone's relief. But this one kind of goes down into more of the individual point of view of a lot of the different superheroes. And you're seeing the political kind of leanings of things start to emerge. So Captain America, he's underground. Nobody knows where he is. He's got some people who have sided with him. And in spite of being on supposedly, you know, the wrong side of the law, he and whomever he's teamed up with at this point, you don't necessarily really know. You kind of think it's Daredevil and maybe a few others. He continues to slay and capture and kind of commandeer bad guys. So he's still doing good things, but he's not at this point on the right side of the law, quote right. unquote. And then on the opposite side, you've got Tony Stark, who's hamming it up. He's got this like big master plan for how he's going to create, you know, a superhero community, and he's going to help, you know, get the people who won't get in line and follow the rules. And I mean, effectively, he's talking about imprisoning them, right? He's
right.
not talking about just being like, let's convince them to do the right thing. He's like, if you're not going to do what we want you to do, which is unmask, get trained, get like, you know, licensed or what have you.
Right. And it's the crux of it is get licensed and then the government can tell you what to do and what not to do.
Right.
You right. like if you want to go fight a supervillain, the government will tell you whether that's okay or not. And by the way, if we don't like what's happening in Iraq, I'm going to send you over there and you're going to fight over there too. It's like right. once you're registered, your actions are dictated by the government.
Well, and if you decide not to be registered, if you go out and you're caught being a vigilante, masking up, and whether you're fighting the bad guys or doing whatever you so choose, you will be taken in, you will be tranquilized, and you will be basically put into, they keep talking about like this number 42, which
right.
is basically like a superhero prison from what I can put yep. together.
It seems like it. So like yeah. two things. Number one, like that is real life, right? I can't just go put on a mask. The Punisher is the typical example. Punisher is just a normal dude with a bunch of guns that goes out and shoots people that he thinks are criminals. I can't go do that. I'll go to jail. Why is the Punisher able to just go do all that without repercussions?
Well, but I'm just going to say it one more time, but like also the Punisher's a dude. He's like a regular dude.
Right. There's
a
lot
like
of these
me
people.
Doing it or you doing it. Is it the same if, let's say, I don't know, Galactus or Thor or whomever does it? Like, is it the same
right.
thing?
A lot of these superheroes.
Does the law of man apply to a god or to a superhero?
Right.
And this is arguing yes.
Right. It is. It's saying that because there's also superheroes who are just dudes, like you said.
Right.
The other thing is, like, it seems like there's a problem brewing in the Fantastic Four.
There 100% is. So Reed Richards is, like, enamored with this idea that Tony Stark is brewing up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I believe you. I did all these mathematical equations. You are right. On the trajectory that we're currently on with all of these superheroes and all the things that are happening, we're headed on a path to the apocalypse. Like, we've got to get this crap under control. Meanwhile, Sue Storm her brother's in the hospital in a coma, and she's kind of like, yo, dude, like, you know, you can tell that she's sort of conflicted. There is the beginning maybe of a rift starting to emerge, but they don't spend too much time on it in this issue.
Because everybody who reads the comics knows he's a jerk.
Foreshadow. Reed Richards? Oh, yeah. I just think he's so smart. He's just really in his head, right? Like, it's like a super nerd thing. He's not, he's not intending to be a jerk. He's just in his big giant brain, and that makes him kind of dismissive of, you know, feelings and things that matter.
So him and Sue, as like always, as always, are on the rocks because he's paying more attention to science than to his family.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's his brother-in-law. It's his wife's brother is in the hospital. And he's just kind of like, whoa, look at, I got, but math. I look at math. I got probabilities.
Yeah, but when your brain works that way, can you actually blame him? Like, his brain just is nuts. It works that way.
I can't blame him.
You have to bring those people back down to earth and be like, oh, hey, things that matter.
Right.
I don't know.
So that's what's kind of going on here. He's all like psyched up because him and Iron Man have this whole plan.
Yeah. Yeah, he's super stoked, and she's like, okay, babe, this is kind of a mess, but we don't spend too much time on it. What ends up happening in issue two is that you've got these young Avengers. I don't know much about them in like the general Avenger universe. They're kind of out there still doing the Avenger thing. They haven't gotten in league with this idea of being, you know, registered and regulated, and they're under attack. Like, they're basically getting policed by Man and by the other Avengers. And to the rescue comes Captain America and some of his people to sort of usher these young Avengers out of harm's way, which harm's way is basically getting tranked, right, by the government and by Tony Stark's, you know, buddies. So they get put into what is basically like an underground series of safe houses that are controlled by S.H.I.E.L.D., but only known to Nick Fury. So I don't really know that much about the Nick Fury line and story. Apparently he's not dead in this story. Commander Hill is running S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury is on the side of Captain America.
Right.
And in collaboration, and has said to Captain America, like, you can use these safe houses. The only reason why this is a safe place is because Nick Fury was the only one in S.H.I.E.L.D. who knew about them. And that's how Captain America and his cohorts came into using them.
Right.
Okay.
That's how it goes down. Nick Fury, you never know if he's dead or alive, and he's got a million secrets.
I don't really know much about him. We've never done any podcasts on him.
Yep.
But well, I love Samuel L. Jackson. So.
Well, he doesn't look like Samuel L. Jackson in this one.
Well, I wish he did. Because I love Samuel Jackson. But also, I haven't actually seen Nick Fury yet between issue 1 and 3. Like, you haven't seen him yet. You've just talked about him.
Right. By the way, there was a sci-fi movie long time ago. S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. You know who played Nick Fury in that one? It was before the Marvel movies came out. It was long ago.
Am I going to be disappointed?
Who would you pick if it wasn't Samuel L. Jackson to play Nick Fury?
I have no idea. I don't know enough about Nick Fury to even like pick an actor that I think is the right character to do it.
It was David Hasselhoff.
I don't know what you just said to me. I'm going to pretend like this never happened. The Hoff cannot be Nick Fury. It just cannot happen.
He was. It did happen. You can't erase that.
Why? Why? Why?
Oh, all right. So. Lord. Capstone of issue 2. Big reveal.
The biggest thing that happens. The most important thing that happens in this entire issue. And the final thing I'm going to say about it is, again, we've got this divide that's happening. And you have, at the very last few panels, a press conference take place. And none other than Spider-Man himself shows up and gets in league with Iron Man. Takes off his Spidey suit hat. Is it hat? Mask?
Hat mask.
And unveils that he is Peter Parker.
So
the gig is up. He's taken aside, and now the world knows, which I think, I mean, what do you do with the Spider-Man storyline at that point?
Oh, we'll find out.
Oh, will we? Okay.
We will. Well. So power through issue 3.
Issue 3
opens with Spider-Man.
There's kind of
it's quite the way hubbub. That, it's quite the stir. He's created a minor stir.
Quite the stir. The cover features, is it a variant cover or is it the cover that has Thor on it?
I don't know. That's not the actual cover. That's the cover that was we were witnessing on the app of Comixology. I don't think that was not the actual cover.
Okay. because I felt like I was I was super confused about it.
That was a variant cover.
So the in this actual one,
cover was the one with Iron Man and Captain America fighting each other, lightning bolts around him.
Which is also cool.
It is, except Captain America also still looks constipated.
I mean, maybe he is constipated. Maybe he's a Metamucil. I don't know what to say.
Maybe the IBS is like giving him extra like oomph in his fights.
I don't think that's it. I don't think that is. Maybe I'm not even going to go down this
path. I would like to see a comic series now where it's like Captain America doing commercials for IBS.
And
I mean, he's an old man.
Hard pass.
Well, what commercials would you like to see Captain America do? Reverse mortgages?
I don't know.
I feel like old people would vibe with him because he's from World War II. He could be like, got credibility. He'd be like, he need a reverse. He'd be the new Tom Selleck. Like anything Tom Selleck is on, get Captain America instead.
You're a ridiculous human. I'm just going to say that right now. Right. Like, well, no old people need anyone more legitimate to talk to them about Beano or whatever. Like, that's ridiculous.
What are you talking about?
They don't. I'm just saying they already trust all the like big sources. They don't need a Captain America to convince them that these. Supplements help.
Apparently Hulu is serving you up different ads than me.
I don't get any of those ads. Thank you.
All right. Issue 3, Civil War.
Issue 3.
Go.
Civil War. So again, the rift is sort of further dividing, and what you're seeing here is a very like political sort of conversation where basically Iron Man is going around and his people are going around and trying to convince all of the superheroes who haven't chosen a side to choose a side.
Right.
And what we're finding is there's a lot of people who live in the middle. So right. Reed Richards goes to Wakanda and Black Panther's like, no, thanks, man. Like, I don't want America coming to Wakanda and telling me how to do my business. So I'm going to stay out of it.
Right.
He also gives him some like, nice advice, like, why don't you pay attention to your wife whose brother is in a coma in the hospital? Just seems like the right thing to do. He does plant that kind of seed right. before Reed Richards leaves Wakanda. But there's sort of this, like, again, I know I keep harkening back on this, but like the sovereignty of nations, like who rules whom and has the right to, it keeps kind of emerging here. And what you're finding is that a lot of the superheroes are like, they're like libertarians, right? They're like, don't mess with me. I'm not going to mess with you. We're all just going to do our business. So like Dr. Strange, he's like, I'm Switzerland. I don't want any part of this. I'm not going to mess with it. Same with the X-Men. You've got Stark goes and he talks to, who's the blue icy lady?
Emma Frost. The White Queen, who's representative of the mutants in X-Men.
Yes.
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 I mean, she was a bad guy for a long time.
Sorry. I knew that she was a bad guy for a long time. And she talked about something here that I wanted to ask you about. But
go for it.
Basically the same thing, though. She's like, this is not what we believe in. Like, we aren't going to be picking a side.
Right. She's like, all of you humans have been crapping on us forever and having sentinels watch over everything we do. Why would I pick a side for you?
Well. And Stark tries to use that to his benefit. He's like, don't you want to be on the good side of the guys who've been suppressing you this whole time in the Oval Office? And she's like, no, piss off, which good for her.
Right.
But she talked about something in this where she sort of throws back in his face, where were you guys at Genosha?
Right.
What she said, where were the Avengers when that was going on? And she's talking about genocide. And that was a storyline I didn't have any context.
Genosha, I would have to go back to the stories, but I feel like it is. It's very much the, where were you when humanity was trying to eradicate mutants?
Okay. Right? So like, now you're here asking for a favor when I needed you, when we needed you, you didn't, you know, we're
right.
You
weren't there. All of humanity was like, we're going to wipe out mutants because you have powers. And you know, you weren't coming to us then. And now you're like, oh, hey, now that we have a problem, can you help us out and fight the other dudes?
So I only have a couple more notes on this, but there was another question that I had as Stark was leaving.
Is it about how bad Captain America's fake mustache was?
Okay, I'm not there yet. That was my next ridiculous
spoiler alert. Was all about
this, but there, as Stark is leaving the Academy, the X-Men Academy, there's a guy that comes out of the bushes. and is like trying to get Stark's attention, and he has a big M over his eye.
Don't ask me about Bishop. I don't know much about Bishop.
Okay.
All right. He's a mutant.
Next time we talk about this, you need to know more about him, because I was like, who the hell is this guy coming?
I will look up more about Bishop. The X-Men are like, it's almost like if you wanted to be in the Marvel Universe, times five is what you'd have to do to know every X-Man.
It's very windy.
We went through it in a podcast one time. It's like, who are all the X-Men? There's like 850 X-Men.
I know. You asked me how many I thought it was, and I was like, 25. And you're like, no. That's sorely short of what it really is.
Bishop shows up, and I don't know. I don't know about Bishop. Okay.
All right. We'll talk about it, I guess. Or maybe we don't have to talk about it. Maybe it will just like show up, and I'll understand it on my own. But a very funny and interesting part of this was that, so when Nick Fury gives Captain America and all of those folks access to these like secret shield, you know, unknown layers, he also is like hooking them up with secret IDs, which is basically just to enable them to like walk around freely as regular men. So they're regular men walking around with Captain or with like superhero costumes under their clothes. And they all have different ridiculous things. So you said that Captain America had a ridiculous mustache because he's like Paul Blart. I mean, he's like the mall cop.
He does. He looks just like Paul Blart, mall cop.
I love Kevin James, so I don't, that's totally fine.
He's a little radio walkie-talkie on his shoulder.
Well, no, he's Brett Hendrick is his name. Oh. They all get names. They all get professions.
Brett Hendrick.
But I kind of feel like Captain America is teamed up. I knew who Daredevil was, but he's also teamed up with some people I was like, I don't even know who these superheroes are. Goliath and Hercules.
Daredevil is weird because he's blind.
He's blind in this. That was my note I wrote down too. He's an engineer from Long Island.
He's Cooper Payton. But Hercules, Hercules is literally Hercules. Like Thor is Thor. Hercules is Hercules.
Okay, so I it wasn't some sort of like weird fantastical thing that I didn't understand. It was just that I've never seen him in comic book history.
Right. Like Thor was so popular, Marvel was like, well, we should do Greek heroes too. And they made Hercules, which Hercules is awesome because Hercules is the ladies' man.
Oh, yeah.
In Greek mythology and in the comic.
Yes.
There's a fantastic series where Thor was gone for a while and Hercules took over. He was the incredible Hercules. And he's like, hey, look at me. And Goliath.
Yes, I did write down, why is Daredevil not blind in this?
I think he still is. It's just for some reason, like, he is able to pull off the I don't have dark sunglasses, but what?
He's an engineer.
Yeah. But also, like, no one would know if he's blind or not. He's an engineer. I guess
that's true. Oh, and he doesn't actually have to do any engineering.
But also, I think the thing that's confusing is he's not wearing dark sunglasses, so you can't see his eyes, which is, I think, you know, he can't see anything.
You don't normally see him that way. Yeah.
So somehow he's wearing, pulling off the I'm not blind look without wearing dark sunglasses is confusing. And Goliath was in the second Ant-Man movie, and he was, who's the guy who played Morpheus? Lawrence Fishburne.
Yes.
Yes, he was in the second Ant-Man movie. He was a contemporary of Hank Pym, who also knew about Pym particles and how to grow and shrink. Oh. So he's Goliath. Him and Hank Pym were super friends, worked together on a lot of that stuff.
Well, Goliath in this issue is like, seriously, why is my name Rockwell Dodsworth, a community outreach worker? He's like, how the hell did I land that one as my secret ID? But they're all just like hanging out at a diner, having, you know, coffee and french fries or whatever.
Right. Rockwell Dodsworth. Yeah, this is like Reservoir Dogs. They're just all hanging out.
For sure. So I get it, Goliath.
All right.
But they basically, all of them get called out to an emergency because we have to, I think, importantly remember, even though they're seemingly the bad guys based on the government's perception of things, they're still superheroes. They're still, you know, trying to do the right thing. They get this call that there's a petrochemical fire that's happening and that there's hundreds of people that might be trapped inside. And it turns out to be a trap. So it's a carefully laid trap, maybe somewhat obvious, where it's a Stark Industries plant and they're basically trying to capture Captain America and his squad.
Yeah.
So Captain America and Tony Stark come face to face, and Stark is like, you know, you have a chance to surrender. Like, we don't even have to imprison you. We've given you a green light to, like, if you come to our side of the fence, like, we'll let it be a pass. And they have this moment where you think that Captain America might acquiesce. He might say, okay, fine, let's have a conversation about it. They take it like sort of a momentary truce. And Captain America chooses this moment to shake on it and sort of sabotage.
Slip him Mickey.
Slips him a Mickey. I don't know exactly what he was going for there. It was more like he was scrambling electrons or something. Right.
Let's shake hands. He's like, blam, I put a thing on your armor.
That feels very not Captain America-esque. That feels very, like, tricky.
Do you think it's the author trying to make a point about how America's values have changed? Or do you think the author is like, no, this is cool?
I think he was like, I'm trying to make Captain America cooler than he was before.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
I don't think he was trying to make a point. I think he was just like, this Captain America is way more badass than the other Captain America.
Right, he's not some goody two-shoes Boy Scout.
It's okay. You know, sometimes you got to fight fire with fire, right? Tony Stark is not going to always play by the rules. You can't play by the rules. Yeah.
That's the American Revolution. We're not going to line up with you, British.
That's right.
We're going to get in the trees and in the woods and shoot you from out here.
This is America.
You redcoats. You can't just all line up in a row and expect us to line up in a row and try and shoot you. The guerrilla warfare. We invented that.
Right. So I feel Captain America. I feel like it's about damn time Captain America got hip to, you know, these sneaky ways.
Right. He's out there. You'd be surprised if you look back at Captain America's history. He has quit being Captain America before because he's like, our government sucks. And I am against what they're doing.
And that's his right? Like, a government that no longer works for you is a government that doesn't work. Like, it's okay that
he quit being Captain America a couple times. He gave up the shield. He's like, I'm not Captain America. I'm Nomad. I'm a man without a country.
What was his name? Nomad?
Nomad. Okay. Man without a country.
Got it.
I'm out here fighting, but I'm not fighting for these jerks anymore. Fighting. Fighting.
All right. Well, maybe, again, I guess what I'm saying is maybe Captain America is an onion. Maybe he's got layers. Maybe I haven't given enough credit in the past. Maybe I like the guy more than I thought I did.
Okay, good.
I don't know that I love his bell bottoms, though. I'm going to stand on that hill.
But you liked his fake mustache.
The fake mustache all day.
So you're coming around Little to Captain America.
Little wings on the hat and the bell bottoms I could do without. The mustache, let's keep it.
Did you see Giant Man or did you see Goliath and the Yellow Jacket fighting each other in the comic? Just the two giant dudes in the background? And
I think I might have not.
They're like hugging each other, like gently.
Oh, that's so sweet. Are they dancing or are they fighting?
They're fighting. They're way back in the back of the panel there.
There was another like aerial split move in one of these panels. It was a dude that I thought was very graphic.
Was it Spider-Man where you could see the spider bunghole?
I saw everything. I saw so much Spidey stuff going on. It was way more than I was prepared for.
I saw the spider junk. That's not I good.
I want to see the spider jump.
The spider batch.
The spider batch. All right, we're getting.
Anyway, so how does this one end? Bring it home,
Michael.
There's
like a big fight, right? All the superheroes are fighting. All the superheroes.
Yeah, it looks like Iron Man punches Captain America's face clean off his body. That was like brutal.
It looked aggressive until I looked more closely. At first, it looked like he was like shattering his skull, but it was just his hair shooting through his mask.
Yeah.
But Iron Man reboots and what he's saying is that when he rebooted, he's like, listen, Captain America, he's like, I've recorded every punch you've ever thrown. Like, you can never beat me because I know exactly what moves you're going to make before you even make them. And all this time you've got like man, right? You've got SHIELD and the government up in these helicopters and they're being told like, hold off. Don't intervene. And they keep talking about, we're waiting for code name Lightning. And then the next thing you know, there's lightning shooting through the sky, which we take to be Thor.
Oh, yeah. Nice code name.
Involving himself and obviously.
Nice code name Michael White. No one could figure that one out. Code name Lightning. I wonder what that could be.
And?
And?
So we take it.
Spider Woman.
We take it to be that Thor it has taken the side of S.H.I.E.L.D. and taken the side of Iron Man. So, which is surprising to me because again, Thor's a god. I'm like, what are you even doing here, dude? These are like the silly disputes of man. Like, don't you have more important celestial things to be taken care of?
Yeah, don't you have to take care of Asgard?
Yeah, I would think so.
Come on.
But maybe, I don't know. Maybe I don't know Thor like I thought I did. Because I just thought that it was a surprising side of the fence for him to land on.
Okay, well, I'm excited for you, Michael, because there are big surprises to come for you in the next issue.
Oh, boy.
About Project Lightning.
Yes. Maybe I'm wrong. But that is how it ended, right?
Yes, that is 100% how it ended.
Okay.
Kablam! And when I was reading it, I'm the same way as you. I'm like, every issue ends in a little bit of a, ooh, Spider-Man got unmasked. Ooh, Thor's here. And then you're like, ooh, how's this going to go down?
So I feel like you're telling me it goes the other way.
I'm not telling you it's going the other way. It will go in unexpected directions from here on out, all the way.
Quite the teaser.
Stay tuned for the next episode of the Casual Comics Cast, Civil War. Part 2.
And the crowd goes wild.
So we used to talk about this at work, like me and Mark, because we were the only two reading it at work. Three issues in. Whose side are you on?
I think I'm on Captain America's side, but I feel like it's written in such a way that I'm supposed to be on his side. I think I'm being biased by the writing.
I feel like many people that I talked to were on Captain America's side. Like you said, I think that the writing is a little slanted. But I met more people than you would think who were on Iron Man's side here. And the best part was there's a video game that came out. Marvel's Ultimate Alliance Civil War, where you could play through the whole thing. And halfway through, you could pick which side you were on. You played through it, and it was like, make a choice. Are you registering or not registering? And it would tell you, like online, like 60% of people did not register, but 40% of people did. And when you bought the game, like if you pre-ordered the game and Mark and I went to Comic-Con, you got a free t-shirt and you could pick a t-shirt and it was like either it was,
I like this.
Who was it? It was Rogers Logan. So Captain America. It was like a presidential campaign t-shirt.
Okay.
Rogers Logan or Stark Parker.
This is crazy.
And
this is fun though. This is actually like very a good parallel with real life sort of like political stuff.
Right. I mean, because you can see both sides. And that was the movie, which you never saw, which maybe after we redo the whole series, we'll recap the movie, Captain America Civil War, because the Marvel comics go, you see like the Avengers movies where destruction happens and things like, I mean, The Avengers are awesome, but in New York, a bunch of stuff got blown up. And in Sokovia, a bunch of stuff gets blown up. And they're like, shouldn't we have some laws that say how these superheroes should have to act? And that's Captain America Civil War, the movie, is this same debate, except in a movie.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge, too, is, right, like, I mean, when they're debating this, they're like, well, we could also just, like, maybe we don't want to be regulated, but we could just go on strike, which means that all the bad guys just have their way. And
right.
Where are you then? Right. Like, it's not a cut and dry what's right and what's wrong. But I will say, if I was a god, if I was like a, you know, a Thor, I'd be like, get out of my face. Like, try to get me to work for the Oval Office, and I would not be down with him.
Yet, Thor shows up, and maybe him and Iron Man are good buddies.
Wait to know.
Maybe Iron Man has photos of him in compromising positions.
Why would he care? He's Thor. He's like, yes, photograph me in compromising positions. I'm fantastic.
Come on, he's not Hercules. Hercules would be all about that.
Okay, he's as good as Hercules.
Thor Odinson, he has a reputation to uphold.
To whom?
I don't know. To his constituents? To the rest of the
Like, is a newspaper on Earth writing like a slander piece on Thor, and the people of Asgard are like, oh, Thor, you should have known better than to catch yourself in that act.
I don't know. Actually, I do know, and I know you won't know until you read the next one. Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
So Casual Comics Cast, Michael, great reboot.
Better than ever.
This was a great reboot. We're back. We're stronger than ever. We will start. Come on. Comic-Con's coming up. It's exciting.
I know. I can't wait.
The Black Widow movie is coming up. We have so much
fun. I was waiting all of 2020 to see it.
You've been watching Loki, apparently. We never talked about WandaVision. I mean, there's so much we haven't talked about. So some of it we will never get to, and some of it we'll get to in our own nonsensical time. But until then, I got to sign off, and I know you got more reading to do. So what? If you give me a look
on that. My reading to do, he means wine to drink. I'm not reading anything else tonight.
Oh, you're going to. All right. You can have a night off.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So on behalf of me and Michael, and I'm not going to say anything else, just on behalf of me and Michael, and Jeff, we're going to name names. Peace out, everybody. Cheers. Have a great night.
Cheers. And, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog, casualcomicsguy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.